Well, with me in studio right now is Kelvin Cochilia, and he is the candidate for the New Democratic Party of Canada running in the riding of the Northwest Territories. Good morning, Mr. Cochilia.
Good morning, Roy. Merci for having me on your show.
Now, you are a candidate for the seat of Northwest Territories in this federal election, which is going to be taking place on April 28th. What are your expectations? I mean, first of all, let me ask you about yourself. How did you get interested in politics?
So I was always involved in leadership roles from a very young age, especially in my capacity of a renewable resource officer in my community of Etobicoke. I graduated from post-secondary at the age of 19 and got right into a government position and been with the government Northwest Territories for 14 years. And being a renewable resource officer, you're put into leadership roles, especially in the fire program. And at any given point in time, I'm either managing 15 personnel upwards as to 25. And I was very young at that age and had to adapt into being that leader, especially when a lot of the work personnel were 50 and plus. And because I got my education, a lot of people always wanted me to seek being on the council for the Clean Trail government. But being young as it was, I didn't feel like I had the lived experience to contribute from a Indigenous perspective, like not being grown up on the land, practicing my culture. A lot of that took place after I came back from post-secondary. So I graduated again in 2021 when I went back to post-secondary for another 2 years. And at that point, I felt ready to bring a contribution to the Northwest Territory, especially in my riding in 2021 with the by-election for MLA. And, you know, that expression of one door closes, another one opens. And the federal government was going to an election in 2021, and the New Democratic Party was looking for a candidate. And it was a great opportunity to see if I was a right fit for Northerners, and to be 4,300 votes in 2021 and not having the ability to leave Yellow Knife or even have any type of social gathering spoke very loudly. And that's why I'm running again in 2025.
Now, entering politics is not an individual decision. It obviously involves family. When you mentioned this idea to your family that you're interested in running for MP, what was their reaction?
So with my wife and my immediate family, very supportive. But with my grandparents, they were very hesitant because they know a lot of public scrutiny comes out of being a political figure and a lot of backlash. And they were very afraid that they didn't want anyone to, you know, say anything bad about myself or say anything bad on my name, especially when I did so well for myself. Everything that I have in life, everything that I earn, I worked very hard for it. Nothing was ever given. Didn't take advantage of any type of funding programs. So a lot of hardship that I had to endure. So I had to persevere, resilience. And I'm very proud of myself with where I'm at. And like you said, it's not a... leadership is not something an individual can seek. So I was actually approached during the 2021 from community members in the Etobicoke region when Jackson Lafferty stepped down and was running for Grand Chief. So there was an opportunity. They wanted someone young that had education, that had community values, and that can push for what they believe to be priorities in the Clean Trail region. And I had a platform people really did like, but you know how it is in the small communities. Bigger the name, bigger the win.
Now, you would have had an opportunity to decide which party you ran for. Why the New Democratic Party?
It really aligned with my platform when I did it as an individual, especially running for a consensus government with a member of the Legislative Assembly. So my platform align with the New Democratic values, and with it being 2025, the New Democrats allowed us to have a Northern priority platform. You know what's best in your riding. You know your people. you tell us what it is that they want, and we'll push it in the Parliament House of Commons. So we're not the experts there. You know, we live in Central Canada, GTA Canada, Metro Canada. So we're not very familiar, and I know that people, especially the Dene people, want a nation-to-nation partnership with the federal at a federal level. You know, they don't want to deal with the government of Northwest Territories anymore. That's the whole purpose of these land claims and self-government, is to have nation-to-nation talk. And the New Democrats understand that, especially when Jagmeet Singh visited Northwest Territories 3 consecutive years, speaking with Dene Nation, visiting the Clean Trail in Bechico, meeting with the Hay River Reserve in 2023, and was here during like the big fire evac in 2023 when that fire hit Bechico.
Now, the Northwest Territories has been considered a liberal stronghold for many years. You have to go way back into the 1980s before you see a New Democrat member holding the seat up here. And then, of course, when Mulroney first came into power in the late 80s, you had Dave Nickerson, a conservative member. But since then, so for the past 35 years, it's been a liberal seat. Ethel Blonde and Andrew, Michael McLeod, and whoever succeeds Michael McLeod. And we're looking at Rebecca Alty now as the candidate for the Liberals. What makes you think that the New Democratic Party, with its platform that they're introducing, has a chance of unseating the Liberal Party up here?
So we had Ethel Blondin, and you forgot Dennis Bevington.
Oh, the NDP, that's right.
So we had him for 10 years, mm-hmm. and then it went to Michael McLeod. So I guess I'm blessed to be on the pendulum, right? There's a chef in society, there's a chef in behavior. And you can see, like, right out the gates of 2025, it's completely different compared to 2021. Way more support right out the gates. People are reaching out left and right. A lot of phone calls. Nothing but positivity coming out of my social media engagement and a lot of social networking that's happening outside of my capacity with people that know me on a personal level, that know that I'm not here to self-serve. I want a better and prosperity NWT, and there's enough wealth resources for everyone to be successful. There's no denying that. And when I visit these small communities, you can see there's a lot of hardship happening, but we're on one of the richest lands in Canada. And it's hard to believe that it feels like, why can't you see that reflection at a community level?
But when you when you look at the economic picture, I mean, we've just done a story about the mines shutting down within 5 years. I mean, there goes a large part of our economy. And, of course, I mean, the gold mines are gone here in the Yellowknife region at least, and we have junior companies tentatively exploring the region for other things like lithium and rare earth minerals. And they're very tentative about setting up a major mine up here. How do you encourage resource development up here such that those companies that do set themselves up here will hire Northerners first? And that's always been the complaint about the diamond mines, that they didn't hire Northerners first. They only did it as a token. So there was tokenism involved there. So how do you sorry, my phone was ringing there. But how do you reconcile all that? I mean, as mentioned, the resource market seems to be drying up.
So I guess with the tokenism, maybe I'll speak as being a Clean Trail citizen, just to give a little bird eyes view in how I feel coming from that region as a beneficiary. When corporations do come up mining, like, we want a true partnership. Why didn't we get equity shares when the mine was starting up? Why a baseline one-time 1.2 million flat consecutively for beyond a decade. When they did a story, I think it was about 10 years ago, between the three mines, $10 billion left the Northwest Territories. And if you put it into inflation, that's a lot higher number today. And we saw a little benefit, a lot of social impacts, but a little economic to really feel proud of those mines. So if any mining comes into Northwest Territories, present a true, meaningful partnership. This is Dene Day. This is Dene Land. And this is why we're fighting so hard for land claim and self-government. And we still have two areas that are unsettled, the Detro and the Quechua. So when we talk about junior companies coming in, it's a big question mark. They too need us to have a finalized agreement so they know what lands are available to development, what lands are for protection, what lands are for community use, what lands are for culture use. So when we're leaving this big question mark, of course there's always going to be hesitation and fighting, because the federal government is not sitting down with these indigenous groups to finalize their agreement. And when we have these mining companies opening up, like you said, they're not hiring Northerners first. Very small percentage of the Northwest Territories are working in these mines. So if you have nine mines on the go, hypothetically, how much of our Northerners will actually be working? How many royalties will we be receiving? So all of that has to be taken into account. And I think a lot of leaders are finding that the agreements they put in front of us were never beneficial to us. That's why the federal government signed first, along with the corporation, we signed last. The only reason they signed is because they're the ones that are going to benefit the most.
Let's talk about the NDP platform for a few minutes here. One of the important things up here is, of course, is the cost of living. Everybody knows it's expensive to live up here. When you have apartments renting for anywhere between $2,200 and $2,800 a month, for instance, and the gas price, I mean, thankfully, the gas price has gone down from $1.63 to about $1.47 now. But who knows how long that's going to last. But the cost of living up here is very high. And one of the things that the New Democrats Party has said in their platform is that they pledge to raise the amount of untaxed income from $16,000, basically, to $19,500. And it would eliminate GST on essentials like energy, internet, and mobile phone bills. And they would keep the proposed increase in capital gains tax cut. The party would double the amount of the Canada Disability Benefit and increase the Guaranteed Income Supplement at a combined cost of $3 billion to $4 billion. How do these measures, how will they benefit Northerners?
So this is a cross-the-board platform that's supposed to benefit Canada as a whole, so the three territories and the 10 provinces. So they're looking at the majority of low income. And there was one, we were in a workshop where an individual asked, what do you think is a monthly income that would make you wealthy? Like, what do you feel is to feel rich? And everyone was far off from what considered above middle class. So a lot of us here, like 60% of Northerners make over 100,000 a year. 6% of people in the Northwest Territories. And we're still living paycheck to paycheck. So we're always going to be in this tax bracket of benefits because we don't have these high, massive incomes. And when we look at the high cost of living, it's to look at projects like the Mackenzie Valley Highway. When I went through the Saugatuck region when I first started my first week of the campaign period, all the communities are on board with the Mackenzie Valley Highway to tackle the high cost of living in the Saugatuck. And for example, in Delaney, a round trip ticket to Yellowknife from their community is $1,300 per individual. And their grocery prices are a lot higher, and they don't even feel this northern subsidy, Nutrition North, is even putting a dent on the prices in their community. And the New Democratic Party is also looking at revamping that program and allowing to go to residents directly rather than corporation, because you know that when corporations get their hand on subsidy, somehow it still always makes its way into the profit margin.
Now, another aspect of the campaign, of course, I mean, everybody has considered government spending, and they look at the Liberals and they say, wow, you guys have spent a lot of money. And in their platform, the Liberals say they would shrink public spending, they would cap the size of public service and attempt to make government operations more efficient by averaging AI and machine living. Or learning, rather. They would aim to balance the government's operational spending within 3 years while running a small deficit, quote-unquote small deficit, on capital spending. The Conservatives, on the other hand, say they would cut government support for businesses and foreign aid. They plan to defund the CBC but maintain Radio Canada. They would cut the federal public service and have called for public servants to be given clear assignments and be monitored to ensure they're completing tasks. Now, your party, the New Democratic Party, says it's going to increase government revenue. The party would eliminate bearer shares that hide stock ownership and boost compliance funding to Canada Revenue Agency's enforcement section dealing with international and corporate taxation. The party says it would strive towards balancing the budget, but would be willing to borrow, quote-unquote, when required, to support Canadian families. Now, given the three major parties' a platform on government spending, how will any of this benefit Northerners? How will your party, given its unspoken commitment to borrow when required, benefit Northerners?
So here in the Northwest Territories, we're only about a 42,000 population across the 33 communities and the five different regions. And a lot of our infrastructure is aging across the board, not one particular community, across the board. A lot of our housing is up for renovation. If not, they're almost condemned unfit. And the federal government was the person in charge before the government Northwest Territories took over. So the government, the federal government, has a lot of undoing, you know, to right their wrongs. And if you look back to residential school, they told our people, stop moving around on the land. Stay in your settlement. We'll provide you education, health care, we'll give you money, and we'll actually provide you housing. These are promises that were never kept, and we lost our cultural identity, and we're fighting very hard for cultural revitalization, language revitalization, and a lot of our infrastructure because of its aging, and a lot of money left the Northwest Territories because we didn't even have land claims in place, if you look at all the mines that came in before land claim. So if the New Democrats borrow money, we should be priority on that list because a lot of our money, GDP, left the Northwest Territories. And now with tariffs and the high cost of material, these projects are going to be a lot way more expensive because of the delay in tackling it sooner.
But if the hope is to balance the budget, as mentioned when I read the party platform here, if the hope is to balance the budget, how can you balance the budget when we're already at a $1.2 trillion debt and we're looking at a $62 billion deficit, and then you tell us that, oh, we're going to borrow more money to help you cover the cost of living up here, we're going to help with social programs, we're going to borrow more money to do all of that. Are we not making the situation worse by doing that?
So if you borrow money, you have interest rates that are dropping, right? So the loan rate will be low. And a lot of big businesses, big corporations, actually borrow money when they have new incentives that are going to boom their market. So if you're going to borrow money for not just for a handout, but borrow money, for example, McKinsey Valley Highway, it creates employment, it tackles high cost of living, it gives opportunities for mining to come in, it gives opportunities even maybe for renewable resource energy, hydro, Bear River. So it allows you to bring all of these materials and goods to a given region. Thus, there's a ripple effect of benefits. So you don't just borrow money to borrow money. You borrow money for a purpose that gives you a rate of return. A good example, when interest rates are very low, there's people that are allowed to borrow money. Stocks are down. They borrow money, put it into the stocks. Stocks return. They cash out, pay off their debt, and they're left with a rate of return.
So is that a personal spending idea that you have for yourself?
No. This is what I would say for the New Democrats is that we're not going to just borrow money to borrow money. There has to be meaning behind it. So I think sometimes little articles don't give enough detail. It's just a bullet, right? And we can pick it apart. But I'm telling you, as a member of parliament, I wouldn't just say, hey, I support, let's borrow money. I would actually question, what is the money being borrowed for? What project are you planning to advance? What is the rate of return? Who is going to benefit? What region is going to benefit? What corporation is going to benefit from these major projects to borrow money? Because to borrow money, CERB, for example, was to ensure that people didn't go without food. People had money to pay their rent. People had money to pay their bills. So there was, ad hoc decision making to ensure that nobody suffered from the consequences of when everything basically shut down.
Another area of concern for Northerners is healthcare. I mean, it's very expensive to operate hospitals, for instance. I mean, we see the financial situation with the Staten Territorial Health Center Hospital. And we look at our situation. We're running out of doctors. We're always looking for nurses. How would the NDP help with all of that? How would they strengthen Northern healthcare?
So I know here in the North, where we definitely are losing a lot of our health professionals, and a lot of them are coming in through contract. A lot of our people that need intensive care or specialized care, treatment have to get medical travel to Alberta. So a lot of our services are actually leaving the Northwest Territories. So if you look at it 10 years ago, they provided way more programs and services than today. And it could be a budget issue. When you look at the O&M from GNWT, there's definitely going to have to be more federal transfers to create incentives in-house. As a federal member of parliament, I'm not going to be responsible for the rollout of what the government of the Northwest Territories decides to do, but they do go into federal agreements with Canada to propose what it is that they need, and federal Canada creates a agreement that is catered to this isolated need. And we definitely need way more support to recruit health professionals to come up here in the Northwest Territories. And a lot of people that actually do come up here love it here. But then housing is a big factor. There's nowhere for them to live if they do decide to reside.
It's interesting that you touched on housing because, again, that's a very important issue up here. I mean, the homelessness situation has started to increase here in the city. And each of the major parties, the Liberal, Conservative, and Democrat, the major parties, I should say, because Bloc Québécois doesn't have a representative up here. The Green Party have a candidate, but they're considered a minor party, and the People's Party are basically non-existent up here. But for the three major parties, they've all said that they're going to start building. They're going to start building homes, and they're going to start investing money. I mean, they're talking about removing the GST on new homes up to a certain amount of money, whether it's $1 million or $1.3 million, as the Conservatives have suggested. And your party is talking about spending over $1 billion over 5 years to build more rent-controlled homes. How is your housing policy going to help the situation up here?
So, because like I said, we're very unique here in the Northwest Territories. We're not like how the platform is being, I guess, when they announce these programs, it's in the bigger centers. but they understand that we're very unique here in Northwest Territories, not just Northwest Territories, but even our neighbors to the east, Nunavut, and our neighbors to the west, Yukon. So again, they allow us to give a northern platform of our priorities on how to tackle this issue. And a lot of the indigenous governments want direct funding because they want to decide how housing programs are going to be developed, which lands they're going to use, the style of homes. So there is a need now. That's why there's a lot of manufacturer homes entering the communities. But eventually, they want to start trying to build stick-built homes to train people in the communities to get their trades and RIT seal. Because it's very important that we have people that can service our communities, because we're losing that basically that experience of people that spend 30, 40 years servicing furnaces, working for housing, and people are not taking up these jobs. But we definitely need to have a incentive to encourage our people to become builders. And go ahead.
So where does your campaign take you next?
So I'm going to be leaving this morning to the South Sleeve. So I'll be in Fort Providence, Kakisa, Hay River, Enterprise. And I'll spend a good day in Enterprise with West Point, KFN, and the Hay River Municipality, and move on to Fort Resolution and finish off in Fort Smith and meet with the Salt River First Nation, North Slave Métis Territory, Smith Landing, and Fort Smith Municipality, and have meet and greets in Hay River and Fort Smith. And basically, if I get anybody reaching out that I've missed that wants to connect, then I'll make kind of stops on my way back home. But I'll spend a week in the South Slave region. Once I'm back, I'll be maybe in Yellowknife for a good 4 days. And I plan to leave to, or I will be leaving to Inuvik on April 17 to April 20. And then once I come back, finish off here in the Clinch region.
All right. Kelvin Kachilia, candidate for the New Democratic Party here in the riding of the Northwest Territories. Thank you for dropping by.
We
look forward to hearing from you soon and about your campaign, and we look forward to the election on April 28th.
Okay, appreciate it. Merci.
You've been listening to an interview I'm having with Kelvin Kachilia, the candidate for the New Democratic Party.